Hey everybody, this is Klaatu. In a previous episode, I have talked about getting software on Slackware, and in this episode, I want to talk about SLPKG. It's a application that I have actually just recently found out about that helps you get software from slackbuilds.org and other locations onto your system. It's a really, really nice little command. I've been just really impressed with it. It has actually supplanted the tool that I wrote to do the same thing on my system. In other words, yes, I am not using the tool that I wrote any longer. I'm using SLPKG for now. I'm not saying I will use it forever. I might switch to SBOPKG, or I might switch back to Sport. Who knows? Probably not switching back to Sport, actually. SLPKG has reminded me that sometimes in open source software, other people have done better work on to solve the same problem. And a lot of times it's just better to use to leverage their hard work and their effort and their knowledge and just to enjoy that. That's what I've been doing with SLPKG. And I wanted to kind of share SLPKG with you in case you hadn't tried it. Because honestly, I didn't know it had existed. It's existed for a while. I did not know about it until I saw a message on a mailing list, on a Slack build mailing list, talking about SLPKG, sort of in passing. And I decided to check it out and was really, really pleased with what I found. So SLPKG is let's call it a package manager for Slackware. I guess that's kind of what it is. I mean, it's really not. It's a front end to the slackbuild.org and related systems. The package manager itself, of course, is Slack PKG. It is install PKG, PKG tool. That suite of package utilities, that's the stuff that really manages the packages. Because, I mean, certainly install PKG and upgrade PKG, certainly those record all of the files that you've just installed onto your system into slash var slash log slash packages. So that's really the thing that's maintaining, for lack of a better term, the database of the packages that you have. Of course, it's not really a database. Thankfully, it's just a list of packages with all the lists of files within each package in a dedicated file. But that's the thing that I guess you and I would think of as being the management system. SLPKG is a front end to reduce the steps required from you to get a Slack build recipe file onto your system, and then the source code onto your system, and then you run the Slack build, and then you install the resulting package. That's like four, five, six steps. SLPKG seeks to reduce it drastically by orders of magnitude in some cases, due to the way that it can also install dependencies that are listed in the .info file for you. Okay, so SLPKG, how do you get it? Where is it? Well, it lives on GitLab. If you go to gitlab.com/dslackw, that is D as in Delta, Slack, W as in whiskey, dslackw slash SLPKG. That's SL Sierra Lima PKG. Like package, SLPKG. That's the home of SLPKG. It is a Git repository. On GitLab, you can find releases marked, like tagged releases on a Git in a Git repository using the releases link on the far right. It has a little tiny rocket ship logo or icon, rather. You probably won't even recognize it as a rocket. It is kind of abstract. But anyway, you click on that. Right now, as of this recording, there are 37 releases, the latest being 3.9.6. And then you can download either the zip or the tar.gz or the tar.bz2 or just the tar. I would recommend either the zip tar.gz or the tar.bz2 because that has a little install script. I mean, I don't know, maybe the source code does too, but I can definitely vouch for the tarred versions. So I've just downloaded that into my downloads folder, and now I'm going to do a tar dash dash extract dash dash file slpkg dash 3.9.6 dot actually, I'm just going to do an asterisk with Zed because I don't actually care about the rest of it. And that untars that into a folder called slpkg-3.9.6. So I'm going to change directory into that folder. And I'm going to do an ls, and I see that there is a little shell script here called install.sh. And as you might expect, that is an install script for slpkg. It assumes, of course, that you are running Slackware, and that's kind of the beautiful thing about this. It's so easy because we're all running Slackware here. There's consistency. We can just kind of rely on the system. So I'm going to just do a sudo sh dot slash slp, dot slash install dot sh, and then hit return. It doesn't take long. There's not a whole lot to copy. And if I do a less on var log packages slpkg tab, I see that it's a description file here. There's a description that says slpkg is a powerful software package manager that installs, updates, and removes packages in Slackware-based systems. It automatically computes dependencies and figures out things, what things should occur to install packages. SLPKG makes it easier to maintain groups of machines without having to manually update. It's pretty nice. Okay, so there's a bunch of files in slash etsy, like a bash completion stuff, some fish completion, and then a configuration folder called SLPKG. And in that, it looks like there's a bunch of information about repositories. There's an slpkg.conf.new, there's a repositories.conf.new, and so on. There's also a doinst.sh and a slack-desk. That's in the install directory. And then there's user bin slpkg. And the rest of it, really most, well, there's some documentation, but the rest of it, the bulk of it, is in user lib64 python 3.9 on my system. And so, yes, this is a Python package. It's written in Python. And you just have to kind of admire the structure of this thing. It really is quite impressive. And it only gets more impressive the more you use it. And then there's a man page, which is always good. So the first step that you must take before sort of using SLPKG as your front end for Slack builds, you must first do an sudo slpkg update. That's required because that is going to take a look at the repositories that you have configured. Now, you don't know that you have any configured, but slpkg has been delivered to you with a certain number of repositories already configured. So that looks at the repositories and downloads their change log, essentially, and a file manifest and so on, so that there's a record locally of what's available over the network of whatever repository you have set up. This is an important distinction between SLPKG and the way a lot of people run Slack builds, including myself. And this is probably my least comfortable aspect of SLPKG for me, is that it does leave a lot on the network. And under certain circumstances, I don't think I would settle for that. I think I would sort of return to the comfort of having things locally. But looking at my workflow lately, I've realized that the significance of something being local is a lot less important to me than it used to be. And nowadays, in fact, having it local is almost adding a step, because sometimes I'll have something local and then realize that there's a newer version available online now and I need to update my local mirror of the repository. So right now, I'm comfortable with just trusting that the things on the internet are up to date and usable over the network. And that's just something that I'm willing to do right now because I've been working from home for several years now, and I've kind of settled into a certain routine where, the versions and the existence of things, whether it's local or online, I have access to it. And so it's just kind of, it's allowing things to be stored somewhere else other than my hard drive, which right now is fine for me. But that is a thing about SLPKG that you should be aware of up front. It's not pulling the entire tree of slackbuilds.org down to your computer. Now, you can do that, and some other systems do that. And if I do a disk used, a DU-H on Opt Slack Builds, which is where I keep my Slack builds lately, that is 605 megabytes of Slack build information. So it's not, it's a lot, but it's not even a gig of Slack build recipes that I've got locally on my machine. So you can do that if you want to, but SLPKG defaults to just letting everything exist out there on the network. The network is your computer. It's out there. You can get that information as needed. And that does, you can leverage that at some points. I mean, I'll show you during this episode why that's significant and why it's nice. It's why it's a really great convenience. Just be aware of it. It's not local. Okay. So now that we've updated, we've done an SLPKG update. I guess the next logical sort of workflow step is probably that you want to find a package to install. Potentially not. Potentially what your next step would be is to list all of the packages available to you on a certain repository. Maybe that would be the first thing that you would do. So to do that, you can do sudo slpkg --list, sudo slpkg --list, and then the name of the repository that you want to list. Well, in this case, the repository, there are two repositories, and you'd have seen them kind of fly by your screen as you did the update. There's one called Slack, and there's one called SBO. Slack is, as you might imagine, Slackware. And then SBO is slackbuilds.org, SBO, slackbuilds.org. So if you want to list all the packages available on one or the other, you can do a --list and then the name of that repository. What if you don't know what repositories you even have configured? Well, for that, you can do a sudo slpkg --repo-list, and that shows all of the different repositories that that SLPKG knows about. It also denotes which one of those repositories is enabled. So by default, it looks like it's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, about 17 repositories that it's aware of, that it's got pre-programmed in. And this all, of course, comes from a file in /etc/slpkg. And you can look at those files to sort of see the configuration happening behind it. But there's not really, you don't really have to look at those files. You can just trust that it's been configured for you, which apparently it has because it seems to be working, and just kind of look at it as a user. And so as a user, you can see that the repo ID is, for instance, alien. The repo URL is http://bear.alienbase.nl/mirrors/people/alien/sb --default yes status disabled. Go down that list a little bit more, you get to SBO, and that, of course, the repository slackbuilds.org/slackbuilds, default yes, status enabled. So the default yes is just telling, is saying whether this repository shipped with SLPKG or whether it's something that you added manually yourself. I've not added a repository manually myself, but it is an option that you have if you ever need to do that. Okay, so I see that I have two repos enabled. That's great. SBO, Slack. I can list them, as I said, with dash dash list and then whatever value. You probably want to pipe that through less or more or most or whatever pager you use, because it's going to be a lot of packages. A lot of packages. And it doesn't give you a whole lot of information about them. So you can see a one-line description of one of them. So let's say here's one called libb64. Don't know what that is. We're going to find out to some degree. So sudo slpkg, I think it's dash dash desk, D-E-S-C. And then the name of the package. Oh no, probably the name of the repository and then the name of the package. Yes, that was it. So sudo slpkg dash dash desk SBO, because I just listed SBO. And then the name of the package that I want to see, libb64. It tells me that libb64 is C routines for base 64. That makes sense. Encoding and decoding. And I could do that for any number of packages that I see in this list. So you can kind of get an idea of what's available that way. Another way you can get even more information is to look at the web page. Go to the repository, look at the web page, do a search, you know, kind of browse your package list there, and then come back to SLPKG to actually initiate the install. That's a relatively reasonable way, potentially, to do your package shopping. There's yet another way, which is sudo slpkg-n for network, and then the thing that you want to look at. So let's say libb64 again. That gives you a menu. Depending on what libraries you have installed, it can give you a fancy menu or a basic menu. I just have the basic menu because I haven't bothered installing the little Python library that I think it wants to see for the fancy menu. But it gives me a menu, and I can do things like I can type R to view the README file. There's the README file. Q to quit. And then view the Slack build file if you want to do that. View the info file. Or rather, download the package. D for download. B for build. I for install. C for clearing the screen. And Q to quit. So I've just quit. So there's a menu option here as well. But I think more often than not, the way that I use SLPKG so far is I do sudo slpkg dash capital F. That's capital F as in find. Capital F to find some package. And that I do that to confirm that a package that I think may exist somewhere does in fact exist. Now, this is a relatively fuzzy find feature, so you don't have to tell it what repository to look at. You're asking it to look at all of the repositories to see if something is available. So I'm doing sudo slpkg dash capital F, and then I'm going to search for the audio workstation LMMS, Linux Multimedia Studio, LMMS. And that tells me that actually there is LMMS available in SBO, which, if I recall, is the slackbuilds.org repository. Yes, it is. The package available there is lmms-1.2.2, which is significant because if it was available somewhere else and maybe there was a 1.2.1, then I would probably want to go with SBO rather than the other one because SBO is more up to date. Or whatever. So that's the finding function, is dash capital F. You can also do dash dash find, all capitals. F-I-N-D is all capitals. A little bit unusual, frankly. I would have expected the search feature to use a keyword like search. But find, I get it. It works. So dash capital F is to find. Once you're happy with what you have found, you can then tell SLPKG to install that thing. And the way that you do that bizarrely is dash dash sync, S-Y-N-C, or if you prefer the short option, just dash S as in sync or Sierra. So dash S or dash dash sync is the install command. I don't know why that's the command. I get it, sort of. You're synchronizing in a way the thing that exists on the network with your local system. And that's a very kind of, I don't know, I think of it as a very sort of very traditional Unix interpretation of what a repository is. You know, there's this software and it's part of your system. It's just that you haven't enabled it on your system yet. It works. It's just, again, I would have expected intuitively for the install function to use a keyword like install, but it is sync. You'll get used to it if you use SLPKG. It just intuitively at first it will throw you for a loop. So sudo SLPKG -SLMMS, no, -SSBO, I have to specify the repository from which I want to install. Now in this case, to be fair, there is only one repository, but SLPKG still wants to hear from you the repository it needs to go to find that package. And then LMMS is the package I want to install. It pauses for a moment and presents to me what it's proposing it is going to do. And currently it is saying to me that LMMS, FLTK, and STK will be installed. Actually, it's telling me in real life, none of those will be installed because they're already installed on my system. But pretend like that's not the case. You don't know it. If I hadn't said anything, you'd never know. But that's the truth. So LMMS is the thing that I asked it to install. What are these other two things? Well, those are the dependencies explicitly listed in the .info file. Now, if you've heard previous episodes about this process, you'll know that Slack builds have a rather limited metadata system. Everything in the .info file listed in requires are packages that are required. Anything else is just kind of listed relatively freeform in the README file. So front ends like SLPKG can't really reliably parse optional dependencies or recommended dependencies. And so this is potentially an incomplete picture of what LMMS really requires. So in this case, I would probably do a sudo SLPKG -n for the network thing, LMMS, and then I would look at the README file, and I would see in the README file here that Jack and fluid-soundfont are optional but highly recommended, and then libgig, carla, stk, and port audio are optional dependencies. So SLPKG doesn't know about those. Now I do. And inconveniently, when I leave the README, it clears my screen, so I don't have the README available anymore. That's kind of inconvenient, but at least I know more or less what my options are. So if I knew that I wanted Jack installed, for instance, I could do sudo SLPKG -S for sync Jack and install Jack. Oh, I forgot to specify the repository. SBO Jack. And then install Jack from SBO, which of course is already installed on my system. And then once I'm done that, if I'm happy with that, well, maybe I wouldn't be happy with that. I'd go do fluid sound font as well. I'd install that. And then maybe I'm happy. So then I could go and resume my SLPKG -SLMMS and install the SBO LMMS and then continue the install of the actual thing that I wanted to install. So there's a caveat here is that the Slack build system, it frankly has a very limited metadata structure, and that is by choice. It has been discussed on the mailing list. Other options to maybe to provide structure around optional dependencies and so on. but it has been decided by the mailing list that that's not a desirable feature. And so if you are installing something that has optional dependencies or recommended things that you also might want to do, there's no way there's no reliable way for a front end like SLPKG or SBOPKG to understand that, to detect that at all. So there's no tag, in other words, for that. There's just nothing to grep for. So be aware of that when installing Slack builds. And this is one reason why I generally recommend running a Slack build manually a few times before you dive into the front ends. Because the front ends, if you treat this like a DNF or an apt, it'll trick you. You'll assume, because there's no reason not to assume, you'll assume that these front end applications to Slack builds are exactly like DNF. And if there's something, if there's a recommended dependency, it will recommend that to you. No, not necessarily. That isn't the case. There used to be a flag in the requires in the info file, and I guess there still technically is, but it was what it was, %readme%. And that was sort of a warning to the user that, hey, there's more information here than you realize. Go read the README file. I feel like practically every package started getting the %README%, and so I feel a little bit like maybe it's fallen slightly out of favor now, and it's just the expectation that you're going to read the README file. I think it would be nice if SLPKG, if I had to critique this application at all, it would be nice to make the README a little bit more available. Like, that should be something that there's a command for, like sudo SLPKG, I don't know, read SBO LMS or something like that, so that we just look at the README file and learn of any optional dependencies or any warnings or caveats. Some Slack builds, for instance, require that you create a specific group ID for a certain application that you're going to install. Again, the front end doesn't know about that. So if you're not aware that you need to do that before installing, the install is going to fail. So those are important caveats to be aware of, and it's a danger of using the front ends. That said, there are some interesting options with SLPKG to be aware of, and it is quite a flexible system. Let's go get some coffee. And then we'll come back and talk about all the different options we have for customizing an install. Okay, we're back. I have coffee. It's great coffee. Hopefully you have coffee too. And of course, it's fall here in New Zealand. It's autumn. So it is getting a little bit chilly. So this coffee is getting more and more appreciated every day. So I wanted to kind of amend maybe what I said before the coffee break about the mailing list discussion about adding metadata to Slack builds. And I'm saying that the mailing list has decided not to do that. And what I'm saying is that in the tenuous sort of sense of a democratic process that is the Slack build user mailing list, it was decided by some group of people not to include better metadata. I'm trying to express that the process of decision making on the Slack build mailing list, it is a little bit fuzzy. There's not a very strict sort of policy on how these rulings get made. So I don't want to give the impression that there's a highly structured sort of group that is looking at the specifications of Slack builds and making decisions and presenting reasons and so on, there's really not. It's a mailing list, and you can pitch an idea, and people, you know, as a group, sort of like you get the sense of where the group is feeling, and then one of the admins dips in and says yes or no, and that's kind of the decision-making process. So that's just something to be aware of. There is no specification for a Slack build file. That's not something that exists, as far as I know. Maybe there's a private one somewhere, but not that I'm aware of. So it is a, it's a rather, it's a highly, highly just sort of coasting on conventions and tradition is probably too big of a word, but just kind of the way that people are implementing the files is kind of the way that the files are implemented. And the examples that we have are on slackware.com and on slackbuilds.org and a couple of other places like Alienbase and Robbie Workman's repository. So, you know, examples and sort of the quote unquote official format sort of are just derived from the way that important people within Slackware are implementing the file. And that's it. And the lack of metadata around them, and or the lack of data around some of them, that's not necessarily official. And I feel like should someone wish to add data to a Slack build, maybe not on slackbuilds.org, but I think that, you know, one could do that. And I think it would be smart if one was going to do that to build upon the .info file. I mean, that would be the logical place for that kind of information. Now, to be fair and to be clear, I sympathize with the very real and urgent desire not to make a Slack build into a complex entity such as a spec file. Like, if you've ever tried to write a spec file for an RPM, it is not easy. There is a lot of obfuscation there. You have macros, which are great, but finding out what exactly those macros do and when they should do the things that they do is it can be a real trick. And then there are dozens of different tools. There's Spec Tool, and there's RPM Build, and there's a bunch of other things. RPM Dev, I think, a bunch of different tools around all the different functions of sort of developing an RPM. It can get very complex, and it just takes a long time. Slack builds, notably, do not. And trying to come up with a system to define what a dependency is versus, well, what's an optional dependency? What's the difference there, really? That's actually harder than you would think. You'd think it would be easy. Well, a dependency is the thing, you know, you need it in order to build the program. An optional dependency is something that you don't need to build the program. That's pretty clear. But, you know, there is sort of the, well, what about programs that, yes, technically build without, I don't know, Jack, but aren't very useful if you haven't built it with Jack. Like, I mean, that's not a, that is technically an optional dependency, but I mean, it's optional in the sense that, in a technical sense only. In reality, everyone's using it with Jack, and so Jack should be a required dependency, like pragmatically. Because anyone who doesn't know better is going to be very, very disappointed if they build it just according to the hard-coded required dependencies. And then there's it gets even more complex. Keeping with the Jack example, there's Jack, and then there's Jack 1.9, confusingly called Jack 1 and Jack 2, with Jack 2 being 1.9 and Jack 1 being Jack 0.9. So there are two different versions of Jack available. There's no real reason not to use Jack 2, and I proposed to the mailing list years ago, I think, that we just switched the sort of our default, our internal default Jack to Jack 2, to make that the designator, and to sort of more or less deprecate Jack 1, and everyone decided that that wasn't what we would do. And lately, decided that that is what we would do, actually. And so we have recently sort of switched over. So now Jack, if you refer to Jack on slackbuilds.org, you're referring to Jack 1.9. And if you're referring to, I don't know, Jack 1, then you're referring to Jack 1, something like that. But there again, what's the optional dependency there? What's the dependency? Is the hard-coded dependency Jack 2, that is Jack 1.9, or is the required dependency Jack 2 or Jack 1? Because either one will actually satisfy the requirement. So it does get complex, is what I'm saying. And there's a desire not to make it complex, which I can absolutely respect, because as I've said in my Slack build episode, one of the key advantages to Slack builds, to that whole system, is that both users and future maintainers are empowered to create Slack builds for themselves and for others. It's a really easy, as if you can get as far as building a package, you can probably get as far as making a Slack build for that package. Okay, so that's just kind of a little bit of explanation of how these things get decided upon and where those decisions are made and how they're made. And it is admittedly a pretty casual group. There are not a whole bunch of bureaucratic things to cut through, which sometimes is a good thing, and then other times is a frustrating thing, because you see something that could be better, that you believe would make it better, and you want to make it better. But Slack builds doesn't necessarily want to be driven by front ends that get written for it. It wants to be its own thing, and I think that's fair. Anyway, SLPKG has a couple of features that help you customize the way you interact with packages that you're thinking about installing. So if we go to man SLPKG, there is an option to download only when you're synchronizing packages. That's the --sync or --s. You can do it just the download only. And that downloads the packages and the source code, but it doesn't build or install them. So for instance, let's say, I guess I should find something to use as an example here. What was it? libb64, right? So let's say that we're going to do a sudo slpkg. And for some reason, I've decided that I want to customize the way that I'm going to install libb64. I don't know what, but maybe there's a patch I want to make, or there's a file I want to include in my package that doesn't get included by default, whatever. So I'm going to do a sudo slpkg --sync. Oh, this is why it's sync and not install, because sync has more than one function. Okay, so sync --download -only. SBO libb64. I think that's the correct order of options. Of course, it wants my password because I took too long talking and drinking coffee. And it's telling me that there's libb64. It's colored red so that I know that it's not yet installed. If you can't see red and distinguish it from green, that's okay, because it does tell you at least one package will be installed. Now, in this case, that is a little bit weird. That's not true. They're not actually going to install, because I issued the flag --download -only. Anyway, I'm going to say yes. And so it downloads both the Slack build file, so that would be the libb64.tar.gz from slackbuilds.org, and the URL that it found in the .info file. In this case, that's actually, I don't know. I don't see that anywhere. But it's. I end up with, oh, there it is, downloads.sourceforge.net/libb64/libb64-1.2.1.zip. Where did those get placed? Well, it tells you. It tells you that it got placed into /tmp slpkg /build. I'm going to go there first. It actually has more to the path, but I want to go here for a demonstration. So if I do an ls here, I see right there libb64.tar.gz. course, I could do a tar tvf on libb64.targz and confirm that that contains libb64.info, slack desk, readme, libb64.slackbuild, and something called lib64/share-library.patch. So there's a patch file in this thing that normally would be applied as part of the Slack build, but that's an interesting thing to see. Now, the source code got downloaded to this same directory, but in a subdirectory called _sources, all capitals. And if I do an ls on _sources, I do see that there's a libb64-1.2.1.zip. So that's the source code. So at this point, you know, I could do whatever I needed to do. I could make the modification to the Slack build that I needed to make, or whatever it was. And so once you've made the modification, how do you then complete the SLPKG process? Well, in theory, this is Slack builds. It's very flexible. You could not use SLPKG. You could just run, you've downloaded the Slack build. You've downloaded the source code. You may as well just put them together and run the Slack build yourself, right? Yes. But SLPKG has a certain workflow. Sometimes you can get into the rhythm of a command, and SLPKG is no different. And so you could do something like sudo slpkg-autobuild libb64.tar.gz _sources libb64-121.zip. Hit return. And that tells SLPKG to do essentially a local install. It tells it to the Slack build folder is here, libb64.tar.gz, and the sources are here, _sources, blah. And of course, those could be anywhere in your system. It doesn't have to be there, but you're just pointing it to the Slack build and the sources and telling it to auto build, and it does all the rest. Really, really nice feature. I mean, really nice. I mean, not essential, right? I mean, it's icing on cake that is already great, but that is just really smooth, because anything that separates itself, that removes itself between you and your goal of getting a customized package installed, for me, is icing on the cake. It's brilliant. That's the cherry topping. It's perfect. That's what you want. And that's one of my biggest critiques to, say, an RPM or a Deb-based system, is that the process of getting a thing customized can sometimes just be so painful. I'll admit, on RPM-based system, it's tolerable. I mean, you can find the source package, in theory, and once you find the source package, then you can put it into RPM build. You can explode it. You can customize it. You can rebuild it. You know, whatever you need to do. But it is a process, and I feel like SLPKG has successfully positioned itself as a front end, but also has removed itself, has made sure that it doesn't stand in your way of customizing a package as needed. Now, there are other ways to customize a package, lesser ways, if you will. So, for instance, let's say you're building something, and in the README or the Slack build, it tells you if you set, foo equals yes, then this application will build against libfoo. So you can do export foo equals yes, and then run slpkg, sudo slpkg dash s, and then, you know, whatever example, or sbo, and then example application. And then as long as the environment variable foo equals yes is meaningful to the example Slack build script, then now that that's in your current environment, the terminal that you're running this in, that'll pick that up and it'll run just as you would expect. Or you don't even have to do that. You could just sudo SLPKJ foo equals yes, no, sudo foo equals yes, SLPKJ dash S SBO example. But the specific example from SLPKJ says export. So I don't know. I guess I would probably do it that way because that's the way it was recommended. Technically, I don't think it should matter, but you don't know how things get forked. So I would do it as an export. Another way to get things installed through SLPKJ is by using its queue subsystem. This is a little bit, again, just a tiny bit counterintuitive, I think, just because the precedence that it has set up has been option, repo, package, and then sometimes that gets displaced by another option. And so anyway, the queue is what I would think of. It helps, I think, to think of it as a subsystem because you kind of enter a different mode of the command. You get into this mode with a dash Q. Probably it's also dash dash Q or something, but I don't know. But just dash Q makes sense. Dash Q. So sudo slpkg dash Q. The first thing that you could do is, I guess, the word list. So that's a sort of a, that's a subcommand predicated on the fact that you have dash Q in your command. Okay, so right now there's packages in the queue are none. So that's kind of expected. So instead I could do sudo slpkg dash Q. Let's do lmms again. And then I'm going to do dash dash add. Now notice I did not give a repository anywhere in that command. So, and that's okay, because what it's doing is just adding the string lmms to its queue, to the queue of slpkg, to the queue, yeah, to the queue, Q-U-E-U-E. Now if I do a slpkg, sudo slpkg dash q dash list, or not dash list, just list, then I see that, yes, lmms has been added to my queue. It exists. From there, now that I have a queue file, now, of course, I could add other stuff, too. I could do dash Q, lib. I can't think of a lib right now. Let's do an slpkg dash dash list of SBO. We'll do a less on it. We'll just kind of go somewhere. Here's something. Web storm. That sounds cool. Don't know what that is, but I am going to add it to my queue. Sudo slpkg dash Q. Web storm with a capital W and a capital S, dash dash add web storm. So if I do a dash Q list, I see that now that LMMS and web storm have both been added to my queue. And you could keep doing that. You could just add all kinds of stuff to your queue, which is a useful thing to do sometimes. Oh, there's YOLO. I forgot about that. I'm going to add YOLO. I maintain that package. Add that to my queue. Okay, there we go. So now that I've got a queue with three items in it, I can do a couple of different things. I can do a dash Q build to build those packages. I can do a dash Q install to build and install them. Oh, sorry, to install them. Or a dash Q build dash install, which is build and install. I don't really understand how install works if build hasn't happened yet, but I guess we could find out. Sudo slack slpkg dash Q install is what I'm going to say. And it's telling me that it skipped LMMS because it is already installed. And then it's telling me that the package WebStorm hasn't been found and the package YOLO has not been found. So there's the answer of what happens if you skip the build step. So probably realistically, I would want to do build-install. And, oh, without further warning, interestingly, it executes that. It does that. That's very interesting. It just goes for it. It doesn't ever ask for a repository. I imagine it would ask for a repository if there was more than one choice. That's my guess. I haven't tested it. Like I say, I haven't actually added any repositories to this system because really I tend to just use slackbuilds.org, honestly. I mean, I'm not opposed to other repositories. I'm just saying I just haven't happened to add any others to my system. So That's SLPKG-Q. It is a handy little system. You can also remove things. So I wonder if there's a clear. No, there's not. Okay. So dash Q list, and then I could do dash Q remove instead. Or no, sorry, dash Q LMMS WebStorm and YOLO dash dash remove. And that has removed those from the queue. And if I do a dash Q list again, then there's nothing in my queue. So that's the queue subsystem. Like I say, it feels a little bit weird because dash Q list and yet dash Q dash dash add or dash Q dash dash remove with some package in there to qualify what you're adding or removing. That it feels a little bit awkward, but again, you do kind of fall into it. It's little tiny bit counterintuitive sometimes, but not terribly. There's also an ability to see what you have installed on your system, which is the dash find or dash f with a lowercase f find or dash dash find, and that'll see if you have something installed in your system currently. There's also a dash r for remove. So if you want to remove a package through SLPKG, again, I don't think I would do that. I think I would just use remove PKG myself. But you could do it through SLPKG, and you do get the benefit of some easy options like SLPKG-R underscore SBO dash dash tag, which tells it to remove all packages tagged SBO. So I mean that would be rather drastic, but I mean you could do it. That's an option that you have. And in a less drastic scenario, maybe you had found, I don't know, a collection of packages somewhere underscore CLATU or something, and you decided that you're finished with those, then you could just remove all of the ones that are tagged CLATU, whatever. So it's a handy little feature. And there is more. There's more stuff that you can do with and around SLPKG. It's quite a robust little application. It has a bunch of stuff for repo management, it has stuff for package management, for updating packages, for health checks, for dependency checks. You can get a whole ASCII chart, ASCII art graph of all the dependencies around a package and how they connect to each other, or you can render it out to a PNG. There are lots and lots of features here, but not, I think one of the things that I want to emphasize here, it's not overwhelmingly so. There are a lot of features, but the ones that you're going to use on a day-to-day basis are the ones that well, really are the first couple that I went over. I think SLPKG dash capital F for finding stuff on the servers, dash lowercase s to sync, to synchronize, to install an application from a server, and I don't know, maybe something else like dash in to view the information about the package. Like I say, I do wish there was a little bit more just dumping stuff out to standard out rather than sort of that menu-driven scenario that dash in uses, but I think right now I'm looking past that. I don't know if I'll always look past that myself. It may come down to me wanting to have stuff locally so I can just cat it out to my terminal and get a good overview of everything. And again, I mean, that's what inspired me to write Sport rather, was just the desire to have a quick at a glance summary of the README and the .info files right in front of me so that I can assess what the optional dependencies are versus the required dependencies versus any further actions that I needed to take before installation, such as creating a group ID or something like that. So that's part of the model of SLPKG is that things live on the server and you can peek into the server, but a lot of times you don't have the sense that it's right there tangibly in front of you in your terminal, as it were. And that's okay. That's a choice that has been made. I think overall, this is an astonishingly cool little application, and it simplifies interactions with slackbuilds.org for a lot of scenarios. And maybe it simplifies it too much sometimes, but I think, like I said, it removes itself from standing in your way. If you want to get into the actual code. You need to see the thing that you're about to install, and you want to get in there and make a patch or make a modification to the build file or whatever. It's easy to do. It's just a --download --only option away, and you have them locally on your system, so you can adjust them. And then the --auto build feature makes it so easy to continue in within that sort of that workflow. So some really, really nice features here, and it just it's a beautifully written application. I highly recommend it. If you are if you have done the obligatory couple of manual Slack build installs, which I highly recommend, get familiar with Slack builds before you start defaulting to the front ends, then you'll be ready for something like SLPKG, and you'll understand that this isn't DNF, this isn't apt, this isn't a spec file that we're looking at. This doesn't have all the rich metadata that some packaging formats have. So read the README files before installing, get familiar with what your sort of typical daily drivers are, and install them the way that you want them installed. But do it, if you want, with SLPKG. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.